In this week's parsha, Parshas Toldos, in the Seder of the week, we have the famous birth of Yaakov and Esav. And as they grow up, they go their separate divergent ways. And time goes very fast in this week's Seder. Salvechik points out, we think events in the Torah happen one after another because they're written one after another. That is not the case. Only what is necessary for us to know. Nevuah shu tzucha ledoros nichtava, v'she'ena tzuhu tzucha ledoros lo nichtava. The Torah writes what we need to know, and the Torah does not write what we don't need to know. So a lot happened in the life of Yitzchak. Oh, the Torah doesn't narrate much of the life of Yitzchak. At the beginning of the parasha, he just married Rivka at the age of 40. They don't have children. He's davening. At the age of 60, the twins are born. Things happen very, very quickly. And in Parachav Zayin, Yitzchak is old, and he wants to bless Esav, his eldest son. Rivka understands that she needs to save the Mesorah and the Brachos from going to Esav HaRasha. She realizes who Esav is. His wives were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Esav himself was a hunter, a man of the field. He was a deceiver. He deceived his father with his words. And she realizes Esav's last name is Rasha. Yaakov's last name is Ishtam Yoshev Ohalim. And she needs to save the Mesorah. She tells Yaakov to dress up. Dresses him in Esav's hunting hairy garments, prepares tasty delicacies, and Yaakov receives the brachos. Excuse me. After Yaakov goes out, Esav comes back with his trappings, his hunting, and he goes to give father a meal, and he says the father should bless him. Father says, wait a minute, who is the one that was just here? I gave him a blessing. Gam baruch yehiyah, also blessed he shall be. Esav lives out a great and bitter cry. Don't you have a bracha for me, father? Father gives him a blessing. And Esav, to say the least, is not very happy. Hachi kara shmo Yaakov. Who is here? Is his name called Yaakov? Vayaakveni ze pa'amayim. He tricked me two times. No, vayaakveni, from the root word Ekev, which is the name of Yaakov, of course. Es bechora silaka, he took my bechora. Now, if you look in the Seder earlier at the end of Perichov Hei, Esav clearly saw that. He says, lama zali bechora, vanochi holeich lemus. Why do I need this for? I'm going to die. You can have the bechora. Just give me the lentil stew. Behine ata lakach birchasi, and now behold, he took my blessing. Hello at saltali brach, he says to his father, you don't have anything remaining for me. And his father gives him a blessing. What is Esav's response right after the blessing that his father gives him? Perachov zayin, pasuk mem aleph. Vayistom Esav es Yaakov ala brach asher bercho aviv. Esav harbored hatred towards Yaakov over the blessing that father gave him. Vayomer Esav bilibo, and Esav said in his heart, Yikruvu yimei evel aviv aharga es Yaakov achi. Esav harbored hatred in his heart, and he said, when days of my father come close to die, in other words, the days of my father soon will be mourning, and I will kill Yaakov, my brother. Vayugad l'Rivka es divrei Esav ben Agadol, it was told to Rivka, Rashi says, through Ruach HaKodesh, you know that the Imahot were all Neviot. Rashi says, through Ruach HaKodesh, it was told to Rivka what Esav wanted to do. She calls to Yaakov, her younger son, and she says, Hine Esav achicha misnachim l'chal l'hargecha. Esav, your brothers, a change of heart towards you. He wants to kill you. And now, my son, listen to my voice. Get up and run to Lavan, my brother, to Charan, and you will remain there until your brother's wrath will subside. So Yaakov has to run away. Why? Because Perachov Zayin Pasuk Mem Aleph Vayistom Esav Es Yaakov Ala Bracha Sher Berchel Aviv. Esav hated Yaakov for the blessing the father gave him. Vayomer Esav Belibo, and Esav says in his heart, meaning in himself, Yekruvu Yimei Eva Aviv Aharga Es Yaakov Achi. This is the roots of what we could call today anti-Semitism, the hatred of the Umas HaOlam for Knesset Yisrael. Rashi tells us in many years when Yaakov and Esav will meet again. First, Yaakov is going to spend 14 years by Shem and Eber. Then Yaakov is going to work for 20 years for Lavan. So in 34 years, when the brothers will meet again, and Esav hugs him, vayichabkehu, vayishikehu, he hugs him and he kisses him. Rashi tells us, you should just know, Barak Lamed Gimel, halacha biyadua she'esav sona liyaakov. You have to know that this hug and this kiss is nothing more than superficial. It is a halacha, it is a firmly entrenched law, she'esav sona liyaakov, that Esav hates Yaakov. I want to quote the Medrash. I'm quoting Medrash Esther Rabbah, actually, Medrash Rabbah on Megillas Esther, okay? Parsha Zayin Simen Chaf Gimel. We know about Haman. Haman was a descendant of Esav. and Haman wanted to kill the Jews. Amalek comes from Esav, and Haman comes from Amalek. So going in the ways of his great-great-grandfather, Haman was a good great-great-grandson, and like his grandfather before him, he also wanted to kill Yaakov and his descendants. He also wanted to kill Yaakov's progeny, and he makes a whole plan. To destroy, to kill, to annihilate, exterminate all the Jews, from young to old, tafanashim, children to women, b'yom echad, and one day, b'shlosh asar yom echodesh adar, uchodesh neim asar shlalam lavos. He's going to kill all the Jews. And Achashverosh and his henchmen agree to the plan. He gives the tabas, his royal signet, and the plan is goes down. Amar Rabbi Levi, Madrash Esther Rabba, Parsha Zayin Simon Chaf Gimel. Amar Rabbi Levi, Arurim Heim Harishaim. Says Rabbi Levi, cursed are the wicked. Shehem Misaskim Be'etzara Al Yisra. They are busy with bad, evil designs, evil plans against Israel. V'chal achad v'achad mehem yo'etz l'fi darko. And each and every one of these Rishaim comes up with a method according to his own way. The Omer, and each Rasha says, Atzasi tova me'atzascha. My plan, my design for murder, is better than yours. Esav Omar, and now the Medrash quotes our Sedra. Esav Omer, Esav said, Shota haya Kayin. Kayin was a fool. Sharaga sachiv b'chaye aviv. Why was Kayin a fool? He wanted world dominion, Kayin. They were arguing over who will control the world, according to one Medrash. So Cain killed Hevel, but he was a fool. Why was he a fool? Harag et achiv b'chaye aviv. He was a fool because he killed his brother Hevel during the lifetime of his father. Now what happens after Cain kills Hevel? We know that the Pasuk tells us at the beginning of Perikei in Bereishis, v'yada adam es chava ishto. He knows his wife, and what does she have? Another child, Sheis or Sheit. She has another child. And from Sheis, the whole world descends. So Cain wanted world dominion. It backfired. Why did it backfire? Because he left. Father was still alive. So Esav says, Show to Haya Cain, Sharaga Sachiv, Bechaye Aviv. Esav says, my ancestor Cain was a fool. He killed his brother in the lifetime of his father. Velo Haya Yodea, Sha'aviv, Para, Virada. Cain didn't take into consideration that when he killed his brother, his father would still be fruitful and multiply. His father lived for 930 years. He had another son. So that didn't take care of Cain's problem. So Esav said, Ein ani osakach, I will be misakin for Cain's mistake. Elo, and here the Medrash quotes our pasuk, Yekruvu yimei evil aviva ahargas Yaakov achi. Ah, I will wait till father dies, not like Cain. And when father dies, then I will kill my brother. And then I will solve all these problems. Okay? Didn't work. Why didn't it work? Because he didn't take into account that while he was waiting for father to die, Yaakov ran away. He married four wives and he had all his children. Along comes Paro. Paro Omar. Paro says, Shota haya Esav. Esav was a fool. V'chilo haya yodea she'achiv para v'reva b'chaye aviv. Paro says, wait a minute. Esav hated Yaakov. He wants to get rid of the entire line that would come from Yaakov. That's very nice. But he's waiting for father to die, Yitzchak. And in the meantime, Esav goes. And didn't Esav know, says the Medrash, that his brother Yaakov would be fruitful and multiply while his father was still alive? Ein ani osakach. Says Paro, I'm going to be smarter. I'm not going to do that. Ela al diunun dikikin tachas kureise imosehen ana mechanik lohan. Okay, said Paro, what am I going to do? While the babies are under their mother's bellies, I will strangle them. Paro calls the midwives, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Tesvav, Sefer Shemos, Asher Shema Chashifra, Vashem Vashenis Pua, Vayomer, Vayaldechan, Esa Ivrios, Vareisen, Al Havnayim, Imben Huva, Mitenoso. The minute the baby emerges from between the mothers, from the mother, you see on the birthing stool, if it is a boy, that's it. Strangle the baby immediately. That's what the Medrash says. Ela al dinunun dikikin tachas krisa imosein ana mechanik lahon. They're mamish under their mother's belly. The baby just came out. Instead of saying mazel tov, it's a boy, a baby boy. Baruch Hashem, a bris is in 8 days. I will strangle them. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says. The Medrash continues, quoting the last pasuk in Perek Aleph of Shemos. Throw the baby boys into the river. It'll be the end of Klai Yisrael. So Cain grants world dominion, but he kills Hevel while his father's still alive. And his father, Hashish, doesn't solve his own problem, Cain. Esav comes along and he says, ha, Cain was a fool. He left his father, he waited, he left his father alive. I will wait till my father dies, and then Vahar goes Yaakov Achi. Okay. But the problem is, says the Medrash, didn't he realize that Yaakov was going to go get married in the interim and start a whole family? Along comes Par, and Par says, ha, they were both fools. And Esav didn't realize that his brother would be fruitful and multiply. So I will kill the babies right when they emerge. I will solve all the problems. The minute they come out of the belly, we'll strangle the baby into the river, finished. No more problems with Klaisha. Haman Omar, Haman comes along. What does Haman say? Paro, Shotahaya. Haman comes along and he says, wait a minute, Paro was a fool. Sha'amar, kol ha'bein ha'yilad ha'yar tashlichu. He said, every male into the river. At the end of the pasuk is, v'chol ha'bas techayun. And every girl, she shall live. V'chilo haya yodea sha'benos nisa'os paros v'ravos. Didn't Paro realize that what? The girls would grow up, they would marry, they would be fruitful and multiply. So therefore, ani eini osakach. Therefore, I will not do this. Ela lahashmid laharog la'abid. Therefore, said Haman, I will lahashmid, destroy laharog, to kill la'abid, exterminate as kol hayudim. I'm not going to wait for the fathers to die. I'm not going to wait for the sons to get married. I'm just going to take care of the problem initially. I'm going to kill them all, of all ages, from boobies to babies, and I don't have to worry about this. The Medrash continues. Va'af Gog u'magog la'as, va'af Gog u'magog, which we reached just right about on Sukkot. Va'af Gog u'magog la'asi davo asi domar. In the future, Gog and Magog will say, what is Gog and Magog? Footnote to the Artsko Medrash Rabbah, Magog is the name of a nation that will launch a cataclysmic attack against Israel at the dawn of the Messianic Age. They will be led by their king, Gog. This event is known as the War of Gog and Magog. Va'af Gog and Magog la'asidavo lomar. And in the future, Gog and Magog in the future will say, Shotim hayu rishonim. The earlier ones were all fools. Shahayu misaskim be'etos imalachem al yisrael. Because they, together with their kings, occupied themselves plotting against Israel. All of history is Uma's own plotting against us from one to the next. Okay, in Cain's time, there were no Yidden, so he killed Hevel. But Esav already teaches us, Vayistam Esav Belibo, Abrecha Sher Bercho Aviv, Vayomer Esav, Yikruvi Me Aviv, Hargas Yaakov Achi. And then Paro thinks he's going to do better. I'm going to kill them on the birthing stool. And Haman thinks he's going to do better. He's going to kill every single one of them. So Gog and Magog at the end of days will say, Shotim hayu rishonim. They were all fools. They occupied themselves and their kings against Israel. V'lo hayu yodin shehein lahem patron b'shamayim. Did all of the earlier ones not realize that the people of Israel have a protector in heaven? They were fighting against the nation Israel. But didn't they all stop to think, wait a minute, the nation of Israel has a father in heaven. So why are they fighting against Israel? Who should they be fighting against? Or God in heaven. Ein ani osekein, says Gog, the king of Magog, I'm not going to make the same mistake. Ela hareini mizdaveg im patron tchila. Oh, I will attack their protector first. Artsko footnote, Medrash Rabbah. Gog's plan was to sever the connection God has with Israel by causing them to stop fulfilling the commandments. This is what he means when he says he will attack God. This is the Eitz Yosef. He will attack his commandments. Gog realizes they can actually attack the Ribono Shel Olam. The Dor HaFlaga thought that, but it didn't go over so well. Okay, but what do they realize? If we attack the commandments, if I cause them to not cling to the Ribono Shel Olam, then I will v'yachol attack God. In the Lashon of the Eitz Yosef, from the Medrash, Hainu lahafsik hadveikos asher lo yisprachim Yisrael. Gog says, the king of Magog, I will cause the dveikos, the clinging of God to Israel to stop. Hashem won't be interested in Israel anymore. Kaviyach, chas v'sham. Al yedei sheyibatvam me'am mitzvos. Or Gog says, I will cause them to be mevata, to nullify, to not do the mitzvos anymore. Ubazahu ki iluhu mizdavig b'kosh baruch hu. And it's as if he is attacking the Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm quoting the Eitz Yosef. Shakol ikar ratzon kosh baruch hu l'shmer mitzvos. Because the whole ikar ratzon, the whole ikar ratzon b'kosh baruch hu, the whole desire of God was that Bnei Yisrael should keep the mitzvos. So therefore, if I sever their connection to mitzvos, I will reduce God's interest in Klal Yisrael. I will nullify their attachment to each other, God and Klal Yisrael. And this way, I will attack Israel. That's the Eitz Yosef on the Medrash. And then, says God, Achar kach ani mizdavig lahem. After I attack God, i.e. diminish their connection to mitzvos and diminish God's providence, then I will attack them. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers Gog. Rasha, O wicked one. Li ata bali hizdaveg. Are you coming to attack me? Kame gedudim yesh lefanai. How many brigades of soldiers are at my disposal? God says to Gog. Kama barakim. How many lightning bolts? Kama ra'amim. How many thunderclaps? Bekama srafim. Bekama malachim. Do you know how many srafim, heavenly beings? Do you know how many angels I have? Ella givurasi tetzeven echemesimach. And even though I have so many emissaries to do my will, said God, I will not use any of these emissaries. My gevura itself, my strength itself, my might will go out and fight with you, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it say at the end? V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. Hashem will be king over the entire earth. In the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will finally put an end to all of our enemies, and he himself will go out and fight and put an end. And on that day, V'haya Hashem l'melech, on that day Hashem will be king, a kol ha'aretz, over the entire earth, b'yamahu, Yashem echad, u'shmo echad. On that day Hashem will finally be one, and his name will finally be one. I'm quoting from the yeshivaworldnews.com. A pair of explosions in Yerushalayim early Wednesday morning killed a yeshiva bachar and injured 22, including one critically. And what is being investigated is a twin terror attack. The first explosion occurred at a bus stop on Rehov Weitzman near the central bus station, killing one and injuring 17, including one in critical condition, five in serious to moderate condition, and 11 in light condition. The second explosion occurred a half hour later at the Ramot Junction, injuring five people, three injured by shrapnel and two suffering from shock. The murdered victim was 15-year-old Aryeh Shupak, Hashem Yikom Damo, a resident of Har Nof, whose parents are Olim from Canada. Aryeh Zichrono Levracha was on his way to yeshiva in Moshav Beit Meir. His mother said she told Aryeh to stay home that morning because he wasn't feeling well. But Hashem was gozer otherwise. His levaya began at 3 p.m. Here it says he's 15. I saw somewhere else he was 16. So Lamaisa, that's how young he was. His levaya began at 3 p.m., departing from the Boston Shul on Rehov HaAdmar Miruzin in Har Nof, and continuing to Har HaMenuchos. The public is asked to daven for Aryeh's friend, who was standing next to him and was critically injured. He is sedated and ventilated in the ICU at Shari Tzedek. Doctors said on Wednesday his life is in danger. Before Shalema for Elchanan ben Livnat, as well as for a seriously injured man of about 60, Chaim Nachum ben Fega Rivka. Police said the two high-quality, powerful explosive devices with a high level of damage were hidden behind the first targeted bus stop in a bush and in a bush near the second. Both were detonated remotely and were packed with nails to make them even deadlier. Deputy Commissioner Sigal Bar Tzvi said it is believed an organized cell is behind the attacks, maybe an organized terror cell working independently. A police assessment determined the terrorists responsible for the bombing knew the area well and had planned the attacks long in advance. Last week, three were murdered. I spoke about them last Thursday, actually. Three were murdered in the Shamron in Ariel in a 20-minute-long stabbing and robbing attack. A 35-year-old Oleh from Masha, father of two children, 59-year-old man, father and grandfather, 50-year-old man, father of, I believe, six or seven children. These were high-quality bombs this morning, detonated remotely, assembled by an engineer. The week before that, if you remember, on Motzei Shabbat, there was a stabbing attack in Hebron. And also, a man about 50, I spoke about him at the time, if you recall, was murdered, stabbed to death. Him and his wife had one son, and the man's birthday was a few days after the attack. Navi Yirmiyahu says, Kima'os me'as tanu katsaf dalinu adma'od. It's a good question. If Yirmiyahu didn't ask it, we couldn't ask it. That's what Eicha says. Even if you have utterly rejected us, have you not raged sufficiently? There is another instance of anti-Semitism in this week's parsha. Not only Chaf Zayin Mem Aleph, we already did the Medrash, Vayistam Esav Belibo, Vayistam Esav Es Yaakov Ala Bracha Sher Bercho Aviv, Vayomer Esav Belibo. The beginnings of our relationship with the Umos HaOlam. Remember that Amalek comes from Esav. But Rav Chaim Brisker says, and Rav Soloveitchik quotes it in the name of his grandfather, Chaim Brisker teaches that Amalek, I've quoted this many times, Amalek is anyone in any generation who rises up to destroy us. So that means Amalek changes face from generation to generation. In one generation it's Esav, in another generation it's Paro, in another generation it's Haman, in another generation it's the Bnei Yishmael. There is not one nationality that you could say is Esav, is Amalek. Amalek represents, quote, says the Rav, in the name of his grandfather, Zecher Tzadikim Levracha, anyone in any generation who arises to destroy us. Earlier in the Sedra in Perech Avav, we have an interesting story about Yitzchak and Rivka traveling to Gerar, because there's a famine in the land. And he says, she is my sister, about Rivka. Okay. Avimelech realizes, he gazes out the window, he sees some kind of scene, Rashi says, a little difficult to understand, but Amaisa, Avimelech realizes through some fashion that Yitzchak and Rivka are actually married, and they are not brother and sister. And he calls to Yitzchak and he said, what did you do? He said, I thought I was going to die for my sister. And Avimelech, meaning my wife, commands the whole nation saying, whoever touches this man and his wife will die. Okay? Rivka's out of danger, Yitzchak's out of danger. They're living in Gerar, and then Yitzchak's Mazel changes. Perachavav pasuk gedbeis. Vayizra Yitzchak beretzahi. Yitzchak sowed seed in that land, and he was very successful. He reaped 100-fold. Vayivarchehu Hashem. Hashem blessed him. All of a sudden, Yitzchak's doing well. He's living in someone else's land. He's in the territory of Gerar, which is in the land of Canaan. Yitzchak wasn't allowed to leave the land of Canaan, but it wasn't Eretz Yisrael. We didn't have the land yet. Vayigdal Yish, look at this. The man became prosperous. Vayelech halach v'gadal ad ki gadal mod. Three times Vayigdal in this pasuk. He grew and he went and he grew very much till he was very successful. Vayilo mikne tzon u'mikne bakar v'avuda rabba. He had flocks, he had herds of cattle, he had much enterprise. Vayikanu oso plishtim. The Jew is successful. He's living in someone else's land. There was no Eretz Yisrael. There wasn't Eretz Yisrael yet. All of a sudden, he starts to make money. He has a lot of flocks. He has a lot of enterprise. He's doing well. God blessed him. Vayikanu oso plishtim. Plishtim were jealous. V'chol ha-be'eros asher chafu avdei aviv b'yimei Avram aviv situmum sitimum plishtim vayimalum afar. And all the wells that were dug in the days of Avram, his father, the plishtim closed them up. They filled them with dirt. Now, wells are crucial. They didn't turn on the sink and get water. They didn't go into the shower, turn on the shower, and water came out. No, that's not how it worked. They needed wells to live. They needed wells to water the camels, and wells to wash, and wells for drinking, and wells for bathing. They needed wells for everything. Moshe meets Sipora by the well. Yaakov meets Rachel by the well. The servant meets Rivka by the well. Wells are life. Right? But what did the plishtim do? They close up the wells. In their own territory. They filled them with dirt. Vayomar v'imelech al Yitzchak leich mimanu. They're jealous of him. And now the wells that were dug by his father, the first Jew, if you will, even though I know he wasn't really a Jew, but let's just call him that, the first Avram Ivri, the plishtim close him up. They destroy any work that Avram did that Yitzchak wants to redo. And now what does Avimelech say? Get out. Exile. Leich mimanu. Ki atzamta mimenu. Get out. You are stronger than us. Ma'od, very much. So Yitzchak leaves. He packs up his possessions and he has to leave. The Jews from Spain had a choice. Convert, be burned at the stake or leave. Packs up possessions and leaves. Vayech misham Yitzchak, and Yitzchak journey from there. Vayechan benachal Gerar. Okay, so now he goes to the valley of Gerar. Just find somewhere new to go. He dwells there. Yitzchak needs water. Vayashav Yitzchak. Vayachpor es be'eros hamayim. Asher chafiru b'mei Avram Aviv. So Yitzchak goes and he digs the wells and he opens the wells that were dug in the days of his father. Vayisatmum plishtim achrei mos Avram. And the plishtim had closed them up after Avram's death. And he called them names like his father called them. And the servants of Yitzchak dug in the valley and they find a be'er mayim chayim. You need water. Be'er mayim chayim. A well of living water. Vayirivu roe grar roe Yitzchak. And the shepherds of Gerar, remember they already left. He does very well. Is this not a pattern? He's successful. He's living in foreign territory. All of a sudden, they're jealous. They close up the wells. They kick him out. He goes to a new area. He starts to become successful in the new area. His servants dig. They find water. Water's success. Water's life. Water's parnasa. Along come the shepherds of Gerar, and they start to quarrel with the shepherds of Yitzchak. Lanu hamayim. Your business is our business, your radio is our radio, your bank account is our bank account, your paintings are painting, your water is our water. Vayikroshema bear Esek, ki his asku imo. And he called the name of the well Esek, Rashi says contention, because they fought with him, they quarreled with him. But he needs water, so he tries again. Vayachbu bear Charis, vayarivu gamalar. They dig another well, and they quarrel with him over this one also. Vayikroshmo Sitna. And they called the name Sitna. Damage or harm, says Rashi. There's hatred here. One second, I'm just thinking of something. One second, please. I just saw something interesting. Okay, one second. That's interesting. This well is called Sitna. And when Esav hates his brother, he says, Vayistom. Sin, tes, mem. Hatred, Esav hates his brother. Sin, tes, nun. What's the difference between nun and mem? Interesting. I don't know, I'm only thinking of while I'm talking to you, but we always know that Lashon HaKodesh is not an accent. I pointed out 1,000 times. Vayistom. Esav hated, he harbored hatred in his heart. Sitna, the Plishtim quarrel, they contend with him, there's hatred of the Plishtim. So we have to just figure out the difference between Nun and Mem, the connection here. But I'm not going to take the time now because we're in the middle of Shir and I didn't think of it before. Ayatik Misham, so he has to go again. Look what they're doing. The Jew keeps plodding along, he packs up his donkeys and his animals and his cows. I have to find a well. I'm going to try again. They closed up the first one. They hated him for the second one. They're fighting with him. They kick him out. Vayachpar ber cheresk. He digs another well. Velo rabu alal. Oh, they didn't quarrel with him. Vayikushmo rechovot. He calls its name Rechovot. Vayomer ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu parinu ba'arts. He says, now God has widened for us. We will be fruitful in the land. So we have two very obvious instances of what today we would call anti-Semitism in the Sedra. We began with the second one, and then we went back to the first one. Second one is Esav's blatant, explicit, stated hatred of his brother Yaakov, with an oath to kill his brother Yaakov. We saw the Medrash. And the second one, which we did second, is the Umash HaOlam, the foreigners, the host country, jealous of the successful Jew, taking away the possessions, ruining the economy of the successful Jew, and finally kicking him out of the land. I now quote from the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, whose yahrzeit was just last week. Covenant and Conversation, Genesis. And he writes about this passage in Perek Chavav and the anti-Semitism of the Plishtim towards Yitzchak. And not only that, but the foreshadowing for future generations. Now, we know the Ramban quoted to Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Vav, back in Parshas Lech Lecha, Kol Ma She'ira Avos Siman Lebanim. Obviously, this isn't only a story about Plishtim against Yitzchak and Esav against Yaakov. It's our story. I'm sure we all realize that. It doesn't need to be stated. even though we should never assume that's true, but I assume that everyone recognizes that we're not only talking about these biblical forefathers, we're talking about us. We're talking about this morning in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. Yerushalayim is called Yerushalayim from Yira Shalom. Avram named it Yira. Malki Tzadok named it Shalem. And put them together, Yira Shalom. Is peace seen in our land? Since Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadok HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Nifter on Shushan Purim, the spring was very difficult. Tel Aviv, Bnei Brak, Hadera, this fall has been very, very difficult. The origins of their hatred didn't just start, and it has nothing to do with Zionism, it has nothing to do with the state of Israel. Nothing. It's an excuse. It's a facade. It's a lie. Halacha b'yidua she'esav sona le'yakov. There's a strange passage, says the great Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, in the life of Yitzchak, ominous in its foreshadowing of much of later Jewish history. Like Avram, Yitzchak finds himself forced by famine to go to Gerar in the land of the Plishtim. There, like Avram, he senses his life may be in danger. He, like Avram, is married to a beautiful woman, Rivka. He fears he will be killed so that Rivka can be taken into the harem. Harem, like Ahasuerus had one also, of King Avimelech, where they kept a beautiful woman for the king's lust and sexual fulfillment, just like Ahasuerus. The couple pass themselves off as brother and sister. The deception is discovered. Avimelech is indignant. Explanations are made. The moment passes. Rabbi Sachs's Genesis 26, some of which I read you an excerpt of, but not all, reads almost like a replay of Genesis 20, which is Avram and Sarah on the territory of Avimelech, but a generation later. In both cases, Avimelech promises the patriarch security. To Avram, he said in Perachov, my land is before you, live wherever you like. About Yitzchak, he commands, anyone who molests this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. And yet, in both cases, there is a troubled aftermath. In Bereishis 21, we read about an argument that arose over a well that Avram had dug. Then Avram complained to Avimelech about a well of water that Avimelech's servants had seized. But the two men make a treaty. But now, as we discover, this treaty between Avram and Avimelech was not sufficient to prevent further difficulties in the days of Yitzchak. And he quotes a passage from our Sedra that I read to you. And by Yitzchak, he became rich. They were jealous, closing up the wells, kicking them out of the land, going from place to place and digging wells. I'm not going to quote it from Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks because we did it inside in the Chumash. He quotes it here in English in the full excerpt. There are three aspects, says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, that give this passage, make this passage worthy of careful attention. The first is the intimation it gives us of what will later be the turning point of the fate of the Israelites in Egypt. He says that there's a foreshadowing in this passage between Avimelech, king and Gerar, and the Jews in Egypt. What does Avimelech say? Why does he kick out Yitzchak? Vayomer Avimelech al Yitzchak, Leich me'imanu, go away from us, get out of here. Ki otsamta mimenu. Otsamta, you have become mightier than us. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks says, centuries later, Paro, what does Paro say? Vayomer el amo, vayakom el chalash ha-mitzrayim asher lo yadas Yosef. Vayomer el amo, hine am b'nei Yisrael rav ve'atsum mimenu. Avimelech says, Otsamta mimenu. Paro says, Atsum mimenu. Now, nothing in the Torah is an accident. This is the almost exact same phrase, except that Avimelech is talking to a Yachid, so he says, Atsamta mimenu. And Paro is talking about a whole nation, so he says, Atsum mimenu. Says Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, the same word, Atsum, power or powerful, appears in both cases. Quote, the passage in Genesis 26, our Sedra, Perachavav, the story of Yitzchak's troubles in Gerar, the land of the Plishtim, quote, our passage signals the birth of one of the deadliest of human phenomena, anti-Semitism. Our Lord Jonathan Sacks may repeat it again. Parak Chav Vav, Yitzchak's trouble with the Plishtim. Ayikanuvo, Leichme Imanu, Shastum, they closed up the wells. Our passage signals the birth of one of the deadliest of human phenomena, anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is, in some respects, unique. It is, in Robert Wistritz's phrase, Robert S. Wistritz wrote a book called Anti-Semitism, a Long Hatred. It's a footnote in Rabbi Jonathan Sacks' essay. But anti-Semitism is, in some respects, unique. In the words of Robert Wistritz, it is the world's longest hatred. The world's longest hatred. No other prejudice has lasted so long, mutated so persistently. In the times of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella, they say, we just want you to be Christian. In the times of the Nazis, they say the Jews control the banks. Today, they say they control the Holy Land. There is no connection to the Holy Land. The Waqf digs up Temple Mount. Truckloads and truckloads of evidence they try and destroy. That was the final tragedy of Churban Bayis. They plowed. Tzion Sada Secharish. Zion was plowed like a field. Not only do they destroy us, not only do they kick us out, not only do they take our land, they try and plow over any evidence that we have any connection to the land. So at 7:05 on a packed Wednesday morning bus stop, where tons of commuters and school children are waiting to alight the buses, two bombs are planted, packed with nails to maximize damage. No other prejudice has lasted so long. Today they say they're anti-Zionism. They like the Jews, but they have a problem with the Zionists. It's shtuyat. It's nothing. It's senseless. Mutated so persistently, no other prejudice has attracted such demonic myths or had such devastating effects. But in other respects, it is not unique. And, says Rabbi Sacks, we must try to understand it as best we can. One of the best books about anti-Semitism is Amy Chua's World on Fire. It's in fact, says Rabbi Sacks, not about anti-Semitism at all, but about other similar phenomena in other contexts. But this is her thesis. Listen carefully. Any conspicuously successful minority will attract envy that may deepen into hate and provoke violence. Any conspicuously successful minority will attract envy. Vayikanu also plishtim. He was conspicuously successful, Yitzchak. Vayigda ha'ish, vayirei chaloch v'gada ad ki gadal ma'od. He was conspicuously successful. He attracted envy, vayikanu also plishtim. That may deepen into hate, ki atzamta mimenu, and provoke violence. Vayirivu roi grarim roi Yitzchak. All three conditions are essential. The hated group must be conspicuous, otherwise it would not be singled out. It must be successful, otherwise it would not be envied. And it must be a minority, otherwise it would not be attacked. All three conditions were present in the case of Yitzchak. He was conspicuous. He was not a Philistine. He was different from the local population, an outsider, a stranger. He was someone with a different faith. Condition number two, he was successful. His crops succeeded 100-fold. His flocks and herds were large. The people envied him. And he was a minority. He was a single family, him and his wife, in the midst of the local population. All three ingredients were present for the distillation, like a distillery where something brews, for the distillation of hostility and hate. Throughout history, we have been conspicuous. I'm just taking a break from Rabbi Sacks for a minute. The next commentary is my own. Just not that he shouldn't be blamed if I say something wrong. We are conspicuous. We are different than the local population. We are outsiders. We are strangers. We are certainly someone with a different faith. In general, wherever the Jews go, they are successful. They are hardworking. They are determined. They are persistent. And so the people envy us. And finally, we are a minority. We are truly a single family in the midst of a local population. All these ingredients were present and are present for the distillation of hostility and hate. It's not only Yitzchak's story, it's our story. It's not only the story of 4,000 years ago, it's a story that's been 4,000 years in the making. There is more, says Rabbi Sacks. Another profound insight into the condition that gave rise to anti-Semitism was given by Hannah Arendt in her book, The Origins of Totalitarianism. Fine. He quotes another source. Hostility to Jews becomes dangerous, she argues, not when Jews are strong, but when they are weak. So another insight, another pshat, is that hostility to Jews increases. The first is that when we are successful and strong, they hate us. Now we have another thesis, which is that hostility to Jews becomes dangerous, not when they're strong, but when they're weak. This is a deep paradox, says Rabbi Sacks, because on the face of it, the opposite is true. A single thread runs from the Philistine reaction to Yitzchak and parallel to the Israelites, to the myth concocted in the late 19th century, known as the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is that there's a conspiracy by the Jews to take over world dominion. So Rabbi Sacks says there's a single thread that runs from Bereishis Chaf Vav, the Pelishtim's reaction to Yitzchak's success, to Shemos Perak Aleph, Paro's reaction to the Israelites, to thousands of years later in the 1800s, Common Era, with the elders of the Protocols of Zion. That says that the Jews are too powerful. They control resources. They are a threat. They must be removed. On the one hand, they hate us when we're strong. On the other hand, they despise us when we're weak. Anti-Semitism did not become dangerous until Jews lost power, argues Hannah Arendt. I don't know how you pronounce her last name. A-R-E-N-D-T in her book, The Origins of Totalitarianism. And she argues, quoted by Rabbi Sacks, when Hitler came to power, the German banks were already almost Judenrein. And German Jewry as a whole, after a long and steady growth, was declining so rapidly that statisticians predicted its disappearance in a few decades. Which, by the way, I never knew until I studied this piece. The German Jewry, which had enjoyed a long, steady growth in status and numbers, was declining so rapidly that statisticians predicted its disappearance in just a few decades. The same was true in France. The Dreyfus Affair exploded, not under the Second Empire, when French Jewry was at the height of prosperity, but under the Third Republic, when Jews had all but vanished from important positions. So on the one hand, the stronger we are, a man went and he grew very great, the more jealous and the more they hate us. And on the other hand, the weaker we are, the more they hate us. This is the paradox of anti-Semitism. The expression, damned if you do and damned if you don't, I don't mean to use bad language at all. Anti-Semitism is a complex phenomenon, says Rabbi Sacks, because anti-Semites must be able to hold together two beliefs that contradict one another. Listen carefully. On the one hand, they believe Jews are so powerful that they should be feared. On the other hand, they believe Jews are so powerless they can be attacked without fear. I mean, look at our enemy today in the Middle East. This is so true. Jews are so powerful they should be feared. They're so powerful they took our land. They're so powerful they're occupiers. They're so powerful when we celebrate Yom HaTzmut, they celebrate the Nakba. We have one teeny strip in a sea of enemies, millions and millions of enemies. One teeny piece of land in an entire globe. They see the Jew as so powerful, a conqueror, that the Jew should be feared. On the other hand, the very same enemy sees us as so powerless that they can attack us without fear. No problem. Who is waiting at the bus stop is packed with school children. Tough in Ashib. Yeshiva boys and Beis Yaakov girls going to school. On the one hand, we're so powerful, they're afraid of us. We took their land. We're the conquerors. We're the occupiers. One teeny strip smaller than the state of New Jersey and an entire globe, and we took their land. On the other hand, we are weak and powerless, so they can attack us without fear. The victims of last week's terror attack were identified as 50-year-old Tamir Avichai, a father of six from Kiryat Netafim, 36-year-old Michael Ladigan, a father of two from Bat Yam, and 59-year-old Mordechai Ashkenazi, also from Bat Yam. Last week's terror attack in the Shamran, the stabbing, the car ramming. The terrorist was 18 years old, who worked as a cleaner in the Ariel Industrial Zone. Think of what we teach our 18-year-olds, and think of what they teach their 18-year-olds. He's 18 years old. They hate us when we're weak, and they hate us when we're powerful. They claim we're too powerful, and they claim we are too weak. It would seem that no one could be so irrational, says Rabbi Sacks, as to believe both of these things simultaneously. But emotions are not rational, despite the fact that they are often rationalized. So, for example, in the 21st century, we find that A, Western media are almost universally hostile to Israel. I mean, I hope no one here ever watches CNN. We find that Western media are almost universally hostile to Israel. On the other hand, otherwise intelligent people claim the media are controlled by Jews to support Israel. Are we weak? They could spew hatred. They can hate us without fear. Or are we so strong that we control the same media that proposes to hate us? The same inner contradiction of perceived powerlessness on the one hand and ascribed power on the other. What gives rise to anti-Semitism is the phenomenon of wealth without power. That was precisely the position of Yitzhak among the Plishtim. He had wealth, but he had no power. There's a second aspect of our passage that has had reverberations throughout the centuries, and that is, quote, and this is true today, refugee camps are teeming. Those who live there are meant to maintain a certain lifestyle to keep them oppressed, not by Israel, by their own people. There's a second aspect of our passage that has had reverberations throughout the centuries. Quote, the self-destructive nature of hate. The Plishtim did not ask Yitzchak to share his water with them. They did not ask him to teach him how he and his father discovered a source of water that they had not discovered. They did not even ask him to move on. They stopped up the wells, filling them with dirt. Situmum plishtim vayimalub afar. They closed them up. They filled them with dirt. This act harmed them more than it harmed Yitzchak. He was only passing through the place. They lived there. It robbed them of a resource that would in any case have become theirs once the famine ended and Yitzchak returned home. They are self-destructive to the core as long as they can destroy and harm the Jews. They send their children to die as long as Jews will be killed. This too is foreshadowed in this passage, says Rabbi Sacks. They harm themselves as long as it meant harming the Jew. More than hatred destroys the hated, says Rabbi Sacks, it destroys the hater. In this case too, Yitzchak and the Plishtim were a portent of what would happen to the Israelites in Egypt. By the time of the plague of locusts, Arba, Pharaoh's official said to him, how long will this man be a snare for us? Let the people go. Haterem teda ki avda Mitzrayim. Do you not realize, Pharaoh, that Egypt is being destroyed? But as long as the Jews were still enslaved, Pharaoh did not care if Egypt was being destroyed. As long as Medina Israel is not allowed to live in peace, it doesn't matter how teeming the refugee camps are. how corrupt their education system is. How glad the mothers are who hand out sweets, ema ban mismecha lahavda of alfay of dollars, to see their children go to death. In effect, the Khartoumim of Paro said, you think you're harming the Israelites? You are harming us. But Ahava and Sina mikalkalat es hashura. Both Ahava and Sina are irrational. They make us do things we would not do otherwise. Listen to what Rabbi Sacks says, quote, in today's Middle East, as so often before, those intent on destroying their enemies and by doing great harm to their own interests and their own people. They don't give their children the education that they need to live successful, fruitful lives. They teach them only to hate, as long as it means killing the Jews. In today's Middle East, says Rabbi Sacks, as so often before, those intent on destroying their enemies end by doing great harm to their own interests and their own people. Defeated, Yitzchak tries again. He digs another well. This too yields opposition. He moves on. He tries again. Eventually, he finds peace. Isaac, says Rabbi Sacks, is the least original of the three Avot. His life lacks the drama of Avram. It lacks the struggles of Yaakov. We see in this passage, Yitzchak himself did not strive to be original. He mimics what his father has done. We strive to differentiate ourselves from our parents, but Yitzchak was not like this. He was content to be simply a link in the chain of generations, faithful to what Avram started. What does Yitzchak represent? And what do we need as a nation to survive and thrive in Galus? What do we learn from Yitzchak? Yitzchak represents the faith of persistence, the courage of continuity. Do we have any other choice but to persist? Do we have any other choice but to continue? We are coming very quickly. Wait a minute, maybe it was already the Yahrzeit and I missed it because the Shiva went into Rosh Chodesh Kislev. You know what? I probably actually missed the Yahrzeit of the Har Nof terror attack. Do we have any other choice but to persist? When I spoke in 2019 in Har Nof in the summer, Risa Ratman, Chaim Howie Ratman, Hashem Yikom Damo's wife, Shatichya, drove me by the shul where her husband was murdered. And she said, look, do you see the bullet holes in the door? They're still there. Yitzchak represents the faith of persistence, the courage of continuity. He was the first Jewish child, and he represents, quote, the single greatest challenge of being a Jewish child. That is to continue the journey of our ancestors, bringing the journey to an end even before it reaches its destination. And Yitzchak, because of that faith, was able to achieve the most elusive of goals, namely peace. The third well he calls rechovot, broadening, a widening. And Yitzchak said, ki ata hirchiv Hashem lanu ufarinu ba'aretz. Hashem has broadened for us. We will finally be fruitful. Why did he achieve this? Says Rabbi Sacks, because he never gave up. When one effort failed, like the timeless Jew, he began again. So it is, says Rabbi Sacks, with all great achievement. One part originality. But what is required of us is nine parts persistence. It's a story of Am Yisrael as we sojourn through every land of our exile. I'm going to try not to interrupt Rabbi Sacks now for the last paragraph because it's so tremendous. I find it moving that Isaac, who underwent so many trials, from the binding when he was young to the rivalry between his sons when he was old and blind, it is this Isaac who carries the name Yitzchak. He will laugh. Perhaps the name given to him by God himself before he was even born, in Bereishis 17, means what the psalm says, Hazorim bedima, birina yiktzaru. Those who sow in tears will weep with joy. Faith, says Rabbi Sacks, means the courage to persist through all the setbacks, through all the grief. Faith means the courage to never give up, to never accept defeat. For at the end, despite the opposition, despite the envy and the hate, lie the broad spaces Rehovot and the laughter Yitzchak. At the end is the serenity of the destination after the storms along the way. Whew! Last two sentences without interruption. Faith means the courage to persist through all the setbacks, all the grief, never giving up, never accepting defeat. For at the end, despite the opposition, the envy and the hate, lie the broad spaces Rehovot and the laughter Yitzchak. The serenity of the destination after the storms along the way. Another difficult morning out of Eretz Yisrael. A pain-filled, terrible news out of Eretz Yisrael. Every life is a whole world. Our Yishuv Park Hashem Yinkom Damo was murdered. Twin bombings. Vayishtam Eshav Belib, Vayishtam Eshav. Al brachos asher bercho aviv, vayomer esav belibo, yikruv liyimei evel avi, v'achargos Yaakov achi. Kosh baruch hu say to Gog u'Magog, Shota, you are a fool. Do you think I need thunderclaps and srafim and malachim to defeat you? I will come out myself and I will defeat you. And on that day, v'haye b'yam ahu yashem melech, yashem echad, v'shmo echad. We daven to Hashem that the city of peace should truly be your Yiras Shalom. Should be zochet to see the peace, to keep persisting, to remember our tafkin and our goal, the continuity of Yitzchak, and be'ezer Hashem ultimately. Vayikashmo rechovot vayomer ki ato hirchiv Hashem lanu ufarinu ba'aretz.